The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. We're gathered here in the presence of God to thank him for the many blessings he has lavished upon us and to welcome the new opportunity of service given to us with the uniting of the two congregations. So let us worship God and sing to his praise and glory. The church's one foundation is Jesus Christ the Lord. The first hymn on your sheet.
Beloved in Christ, on this occasion of new beginning, let us bless the Lord who has brought us to this day and who has given us his Spirit in our hearts. Let us pray. Eternal Father, whose Son Jesus Christ ascended to the heavens to rule over all things, and to call into being his church, to bring to fulfillment all creation. Help the church to play its part in your purpose, at one with him who is its foundation, its life, and its Lord, who is alive and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Praise be to you, O God, for the faith of the Church handed down from age to age. Praise be to you for the hope begun at Easter long ago. Praise be to you for every witness to the buoyancy of this faith and the splendor of this hope. As we give glory to you on high, may grace be given to us below, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Christ, whose insistent call disturbs our settled lives, give us discernment to hear your word, grace to relinquish our tasks, and courage to follow empty-handed wherever you may lead, that the voice of your gospel may reach to the ends of the earth. Amen. Hear the word of God, as is contained first of all in the first book of Kings, chapter 19, reading from verse 9b to verse 18. 1 Kings chapter 19, reading from verse 9b. Suddenly, the Lord spoke to him, "Elijah, what are you doing here?" He answered, "Lord God Almighty, I have always served you, you alone. But the people of Israel have broken their covenant with you, torn down your altars, and killed all your prophets. I am the only one left, and they are trying to kill me. Go out and stand before me on top of the mountain," the Lord said to him. Then the Lord passed by and sent a furious wind that split the hills and shattered the rocks. But the Lord was not in the wind. The wind stopped blowing, and there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, there was a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was the soft whisper of a voice. When Elijah heard it, he covered his face with his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. A voice said to him, "Elijah, what are you doing here?" He answered, "Lord God Almighty, I have always served you, you alone. But the people of Israel have broken their covenant with you, torn down your altars, and killed all your prophets. I am the only one left, and they are trying to kill me." The Lord said, "Return to the wilderness near Damascus. Then enter the city and appoint Hazael as king of Syria. Anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, as king of Israel, and appoint Elisha, son of Shaphat from Abel-Meholah, to succeed you as prophet. Anyone who escapes being put to death by Hazael will be killed by Jehu, and anyone who escapes Jehu will be killed by Elisha. Yet I will leave 7,000 people alive in Israel, all those who are loyal to me and have not bowed to Baal or kissed his idol." Our New Testament reading is from the Gospel according to St. Matthew. St. Matthew chapter 28 at verse 16. the 11 disciples went to the hill in Galilee where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, even though some of them doubted. Jesus drew near and said to them, "I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Go then to all peoples everywhere and make them my disciples. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. And I will be with you always to the end of the age." Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our hymn is number 511 in CH4, the second in the order of service. "Your hand, O God, has guided."
Oh, presbytery. One was where I am the minister, in West Kilbride, and after service we had preaching the moderator of the General Assembly, the now very Reverend Bill Hewitt. The second service of Union was in Beath, and the preacher there, if I'm not mistaken, was the moderator of the General Assembly, the now very Reverend John Christie. And then there's tonight. And I'm your preacher. I'm very sorry for that disappointment to you. I'm very glad to be with you tonight to share in this occasion, and I hope that as we think upon God's word together, that we might find something that will help us and sustain us, and particularly those in the congregation, in this congregation, and Dorothy as minister of the church here. Our reading tonight from the Old Testament was from 1 Kings and sees the prophet Elijah at a low point in his life. It is perhaps surprising that this is so, because if you know the context of the story, you will know that this is just after Elijah has taken on the prophets of Baal at Mount Carmel. 450 prophets against him on his own. And the challenge between them is to see who is the true God. Is it Baal on the one hand, or is it the Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob on the other hand? And so a challenge is laid down. A sacrifice is placed upon the top of Mount Carmel, and the first God who will burn that sacrifice with fire, he is the true God. And the prophets of Baal dance and prophesy, and nothing happens. But when Elijah calls out to the Lord, fire falls from heaven, and the sacrifice there is burned up. And when the people see it, they bow their heads and they cry, "The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God." It is a great victory. The Lord, God of Israel, he is the true God. But how quickly things turn around for Elijah. You see, after the Lord is shown to be the true God, the prophets of Baal are seized and killed. And Jezebel, Ahab's wife, the queen in Israel at this time, wants to take revenge on Elijah and kill him. And so Elijah, perhaps understandably, is afraid and he runs away. And even though he's just had this great victory where the Lord is shown as the true and the living God, the only God, Elijah's tired and he's fed up. And he sits under a tree and says, "Lord, I've had enough. I've had enough." And he lays down under this tree, exhausted, downcast, and depressed. Have you had a day like that? Maybe you've had a day like that, when you just had enough. But while he's there under that tree, the Lord ministers to him through his angels, giving him enough strength for a journey of 40 days to Mount Horeb, the mountain of God. And when he reaches that mountain, it's here that God meets with Elijah. "What are you doing here, Elijah?" God asks. And it all pours out of Elijah, doesn't it? Why Elijah is there. How the Israelites have rejected the covenant. How they've broken the altars. How they've killed the Lord's prophets. And now Elijah feels he's like the only one that is left. He's in despair. He feels everything has been in vain. He feels he has nowhere to turn. Now as we come together this evening to worship, it's clear that these are challenging times for the church. The church in the West at this time, it's a challenge for the church in Scotland, it's a challenge for the Church of Scotland. Membership is falling, ministers are scarce, money is tight, buildings are becoming harder to maintain. And for those who are here this evening, you've known some of those challenges in your own congregations in the past few years. Those from Barony St. John's have known the high of calling a minister in Dorothy in 2009 to going from that high through a time of massive uncertainty about buildings over these past few years. Those from Saltcoats New Trinities have known the uncertainty of a time of vacancy and a time of uncertainty about the presbytery plan. And maybe during these years of challenge, you felt a bit like Elijah. Fed up, downcast, wondering what's going to happen in the church, what's going to happen in your congregation. And some of you have probably been through unions before. In fact, I know a number of you have. And you may be thinking, well, what's going to happen this time? Is it all going to work out? Rather than depress you this evening, I want to encourage you. Because I want you to see how the Lord deals with Elijah. You see, the presence of the Lord passes by Elijah as he's in a cave at Mount Horeb. And you'll notice in our passage it says that there was a powerful wind, and then there was an earthquake, and then there was a fire. But the Lord was not in any of these things. Rather, there is a gentle whisper, the presence of God. And God assures Elijah of his presence gently. Not in the way that he revealed himself to the prophets of Baal, which was in fire. He assures Elijah of his presence gently. As though to say to Elijah, Elijah, I'm still here. And though you're going through a hard time, I have things planned out for you. And look, Elijah, you're not alone. For there are 7,000 who have not yet bowed down to Baal. And my charge to you, as a united congregation, a congregation which crosses over the boundary between Ardrossan and Saltcoats, no less, is to say, keep trusting. Keep trusting that God is there, that he does have a plan for you, and he will guide you through. You may come tonight with trepidation. You may be wondering what the future holds for you as a congregation. You may wonder how it's going to work with you coming together from two congregations into one. And as with any marriage, there will be teething difficulties. There will be problems. There will be times when you have to work at loving one another. But during the times of difficulty and tension, remember back to why you came to the church in the first place. I hope it was to worship God. You see, the reason that we are here and the reason that the church exists is for God and to worship him. And it's good for us always to have that perspective, because by looking at him and looking towards him, then we are called to show grace and love to one another as he has shown grace and mercy to each one of us. I hope you also come tonight with excitement in this new chapter of your congregational life. You have lots of things going for you as a congregation, especially having a great minister in Dorothy. Dorothy is, that's it, the Bible's in the back pocket. Dorothy is very gifted. She's very talented. You're blessed to have her, and she will guide you, she will lead you. But remember that she too will have her Elijah moments. Times when she's tired, times when she's frustrated. Remember that she's not superwoman, and look after her well as the angels minister to Elijah. I've known Dorothy since our first conference as candidates for the ministry over 9 years ago. I don't know how much Dorothy remembers of that time, and I often wonder how much it trained you for all that you've experienced in these past 5 years. One thing I remember was from Gavin Elliott, who was one of the ministry support officers. And he often said to us, as enthusiastic candidates for ministry, often said to us, remember, the church already has a saviour, and it's not you. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's actually been really helpful to me and sustain me in my ministry. It takes the pressure off. It's all about him. It's not about me. And I hope that gives you, Dorothy, permission to spend those time in stillness before God, to hear the whisper of God, and to spend time seeing where he is leading and guiding you and the congregation. So we have Elijah, the one the Lord sustained, the one whom the Lord revealed himself to, and the one whom God assured of his presence in the gentle whisper. And it's the presence of God that links this passage in the Old Testament with our New Testament reading from the end of Matthew's Gospel. Because in Matthew 28, Jesus, before he ascends to heaven, gives the disciples a commission. It's a commission that I believe still stands for us today and is needed more than ever in our day. Jesus says to the disciples, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. The command is to go and share the gospel to the nations. And that is our calling too. And I hope that as our Drossan and Saltcoats Kirkgate Parish Church, that you're excited to go out into your part of the world, this part of our Drossan and Saltcoats, and make disciples. That you can truly be the gate through which people can come to the Kirk and come to faith in Jesus Christ. I hope you're excited by that. But it is a high call. And you may also be a bit daunted by that and a bit worried. You might be wondering to yourself, how can we do it? I'm sure the disciples, of whom there were only 11 at this point, were also worried about that. After all, they were a bit of a motley crew, weren't they? There was Thomas, the doubter. There was Peter, kept putting his foot in it. There was Simon, the zealot. There was Matthew, the tax collector. Of course, what did Jesus promise the disciples after this great commission? He said, "And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." That promise holds true for us, that Jesus will be with us. You see, what makes us different and distinctive as the church is that Jesus is with us, and he makes all the difference. I hope as you go on this journey of faith together, that you will be assured of the presence of Jesus with you, helping you, enabling you, as you share the love and grace that Jesus has shown to you with those around you in your community. The journey ahead for you as minister and congregation may at times be challenging, at times difficult, at other times exciting and exhilarating. But as you go on this journey of faith, may you know the presence of God with you, his love surrounding you, and may you be willing to carry out the high call of the Great Commission with those in your community. To him who has the power to make you stand firm, to the only wise God, through Jesus Christ, be glory for endless ages. Amen. We come now to affirm our faith together in the words of the Apostles' Creed. So as we do so, will you all please be upstanding? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We sing the next hymn together. Go in grace and make disciples.
Thank you.
congregation of Saltbrook's New Trinity became vacant in May 2010 with the translation of the Reverend Elaine McKinnon to the charge of Dumbarton West Parish Church. The revised presbytery plan, adopted by the Presbytery of Ardrossan in March 2013, designated a union between the congregations of Saltbrook's New Trinity and Ardrossan Barony St John's. An appraisal committee was appointed to meet firstly with the Reverend Dorothy Granger, Minister of Ardrossan Barony St John's, and then both Kirk Sessions. The committee worked with the Kirk Session of Saltbrook's New Trinity and Ardrossan Barony St John's on the 24th of April 2013. After the due process had been outlined, six elders from each Kirk Session were elected to negotiate a basis and plan of union. That negotiating group met on the 30th of May 2013 and a draft basis of union was presented and unanimously agreed for recommendation to the Kirk Sessions of Ardrossan Barony St John's and Saltbrook's New Trinity. The Kirk Session of Barony St John's met with the Appraisal Committee on the 18th of June 2013 and the draft basis of union was presented to the Kirk Session. At the conclusion of that meeting, those present voted unanimously to accept the basis of union under the ministry of the Reverend Dorothy Granger and that it should be recommended to the congregation for approval. The Kirk Session of Saltbrook's New Trinity met with the Appraisal Committee on the 20th of June 2013 and again the draft basis of union was presented to the Kirk Session. At the conclusion of that meeting, those present unanimously voted that the basis of linkage should be recommended to the congregation for approval. This then led to congregational meeting being held on the 11th of August under the authority of the Presbytery of Ardrossan at Saltbrook's New Trinity to consider that basis and plan of union that had been recommended by the Kirk Session. At the conclusion of that meeting, the congregation voted to accept the basis and plan of union. And then finally, on Tuesday the 13th of August 2013, a congregational meeting again held under the authority of Presbytery with Ardrossan Barony St John's. And at the conclusion of that meeting, the congregation also voted to approve the basis and plan of union. At the meeting of the Presbytery of Ardrossan held on the 3rd of September 2013, that basis and plan of union was approved and concurrence sought from the Ministries Council and its Presbytery Planning Task Group. Concurrence having been received at the meeting of the Presbytery held on the 1st of October 2013, the Presbytery set this date and place for the service of union to form the United Congregation of Ardrossan and Saltbrook's Kirkgate Parish Church of Scotland and for the induction of the Reverend Dorothy Granger, BA, BD, as Minister of the United Church.
Let us ask God's blessing in this union about to be formed. Let us pray. Eternal and living God, you loved us before we could love you, and you gave your Son, Jesus Christ, to show us the greatness of your love. Fill our lives with his spirit of service, that together we may be the instruments of his love and give ourselves for his sake and for the sake of others, as Christ in his love gave himself for us. Bless us with the wisdom and power of your Spirit, that we may bear our witness with courage and zeal and commend the gospel of Christ to our generation. Grant that minister and people together, fresh faith and vision, new life and power, and abounding joy in all their service. We pray for the renewal of the whole church, for the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of our nation and community, for the release of those who are beset with troubles, and the relief of those who are in need. We pray for the care and comfort of our families and friends, and for the health and happiness of all people. And rejoicing in the communion of saints, we remember with thanksgiving the faithful in every age and place, and especially those most dear to us, who serve you in the heavenly kingdom. Keep us in unbroken fellowship with your whole church in heaven and on earth, and bring us at the last to the joy and fulfillment of life eternal. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns and is worshipped and glorified with you, the Father, and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. And now, together, we sum up these and all our prayers as we say the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, for ever. Amen.
So now we proceed to the formal uniting of the two congregations. But just before I follow it on the script, could I say something off script? It gives me great pleasure to be in this position tonight as your immediate neighbouring parish minister. At least there's more ministers in town when I want to go on holidays and get covered. But I bring you the greetings of the North Parish Church. Also, can I just share one little thought? In August, I was on holiday and I was free on a Sunday, and it's etiquette not to go to your own church when you're on holiday and in town. So I decided I would go to the Barony St. John's congregation at St. Andrew's Church. And it was Jim Davidson who was preaching, and it was a lovely service. And at the end of it, it was, well, 10 o'clock to 11. So at 11 o'clock, I realised I could make the other church too. So as a busman's holiday for a minister, I did two services in one morning. What I didn't budget for was that Marion Howie, conducting the service here, like Jim, follows the lectionary. So both services were on the same theme with the same readings. But it's amazing how different two ministers can be on the same day. Anyway, I wish you well. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Dear friends, following the resolution of the Presbytery of Ardrossan to unite the parishes of Ardrossan Barony St. John's Parish Church and Salcote's New Trinity Parish Church, as from tonight, under the ministry of the Reverend Dorothy Ann Granger, BAPD, we meet as a presbytery to seek the blessing of Almighty God to this new congregation and parish of Ardrossan and Saltcote's Kirkgate Parish Church. Members of the congregations of Ardrossan Barony St. John's Parish Church and members of Saltcote's New Trinity Parish Church, having agreed to come together and be one congregation in Christ Jesus under the new name of Ardrossan and Saltcote's Kirkgate Parish Church, do you pledge yourselves in the presence of God and depending on his help to be faithful to the covenant of unity, love and peace into which you are now entering for the better service of Christ's kingdom and the glory of his name? Will you please signify your assent by standing? Thank you very much. Please be seated. We consecrate this union to the glory of God the Father, who has called us by his grace, to the glory of God the Son, who loved us and gave himself for us, and to the glory of God the Holy Spirit, who enlightens and sanctifies us. We dedicate ourselves to the worship of God and the service of his kingdom, in the unity of the faith, in the communion of saints, in love and goodwill towards all, in gratitude for the labors and sacrifices of our forebears, in loving remembrance of those who have finished their course, acknowledging that without us, their work is not made perfect. Now therefore, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the only King and Head of his Church, I declare you to be united as one congregation. Spare no effort to make fast with bonds of peace and unity which the Spirit gives. Ephesians chapter 4. Behold how good and pleasant it is for brothers and sisters to dwell together in unity. The Lord bless you and keep you. Let us pray. O Lord our God, we commit the newest branch of your church to your loving care. Grant to your people wisdom to guide them, courage to support them, and love to unite them, now and always. Amen. Now let's sing our next hymn, We Are One in the Spirit, at the middle of the hymn sheet. Ascended on high, has given gifts to men and women for the edifying of the body of Christ. We are met here as a presbytery to induct the Reverend Dorothy Ann Granger to the pastoral charge of our Drossan and Saltcoats Capgate Parish Church. In this act, the Church of Scotland, as part of the Holy Catholic or Universal Church, worshipping one God, Father, Son and Holy Spirit, affirms anew its belief in the gospel of the sovereign grace and love of God, wherein through Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord incarnate, crucified and risen, he freely offers to all people upon repentance and faith the forgiveness of sins, renewal by the Holy Spirit, and eternal life. and calls them to labour in the fellowship of faith for the advancement of the kingdom of God throughout the world. The Church of Scotland acknowledges the Word of God, which is contained in the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments, to be the supreme rule of faith and life. The Church of Scotland holds as its subordinate standard the Westminster Confession of Faith. Recognising liberty of opinion on such points of doctrine as do not enter into the substance of the faith, and claiming the right on dependence on the promised guidance of the Holy Spirit to formulate, interpret, or modify its subordinate standards, always in agreement with the Word of God and the fundamental doctrines of the Christian faith contained in the said confession, of which agreement the Church itself shall be made sole judge. Dorothy, will you please stand and answer the following questions. Do you believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? And do you confess anew the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour and Lord?
I do.
Do you believe the Word of God, which is contained in the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments, to be the supreme rule of faith and life?
I do.
Do you believe the fundamental doctrines of the Christian faith contained in the Confession of Faith of this Church?
I do.
Do you acknowledge the Presbyterian government of this Church to be agreeable to the Word of God? And do you promise to be subject in the Lord to this Presbytery and to the General Assembly of this Church, and to take your due part in the administration of its affairs?
I do.
Do you promise to seek the peace and unity of this Church, to uphold the doctrine, worship, government, and discipline thereof, and to cherish a spirit of love towards all your brothers and sisters in Christ?
I will.
Are not zeal for the glory of God, love to the Lord Jesus Christ, and a desire for the salvation of all people, so far as you know your own heart, your great motives and chief inducements to enter this ministry?
They are.
Do you engage in the strength of the Lord Jesus Christ to live a godly and circumspect life, and faithfully, diligently, and cheerfully to discharge the duties of your ministry, seeking in all things the advancement of the kingdom of God?
I do.
Do you accept and close with the call to be pastor of this church, and promise through grace to study to approve yourself a faithful minister of the gospel among these people?
I do.
May God bless you and enable you faithfully to do these things. Dorothy, you're now required to sign the appointed formula as a sign of the vows which you have now taken. You'll find the words of the formula are on your order of service. And now let's sing a hymn which Dorothy herself has chosen. You are called to tell the story.
Thank you.
together in prayer. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you call all of us to Christian ministry, but you call each of us to particular ministries. We thank you for calling Dorothy to minister here in Ardrossan and Saltcoats, Kirkgate Parish and Congregation. We know that you will sustain her and grant her wisdom and courage and zeal. Your grace is sufficient for all our needs. Bless Dorothy and all the people, and enable them to live and work together with you and for your glory, and for the extension of your kingdom, here we pray. Amen. Would you all now please stand? In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the King and Head of the Church, and by the authority of this presbytery, I induct you, Dorothy Ann Granger, to this charge. And in token of this, we now give you the right hand of fellowship. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. I'm sure everybody would like to come out and shake hands. So, members of the new congregation, will you please stand? Since this solemn act involves obligations on your part, I put to you the appointed questions. And you know the right answer. Do you, the people of this congregation, in receiving the Reverend Dorothy Granger, whom you have called to be your minister, offer her your welcome and promise her your encouragement and support? Do you each now agree to share with your minister the responsibility for Christian witness and Christian service? And will you give of your time, talents, and money for the work of the Church in the world? Please be seated. Thank you very much.
Let us pray. Living God, you are present everywhere in heaven and on earth, offering the promise of your new life wherever people make common cause with each other. Follow with your blessing those things which we in faith begin today, that in this church and among its people there will be established a great work for the gospel. Grant that the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and of his kingdom might be made known within this church and community. God of faithfulness and love, we thank you for the worship and witness of those who long ago and in recent times have served the people of this place, bringing them to faith, sustaining them on their earthly pilgrimage, catching them up into the glory of heaven. As we take this new step of faith, make us worthy of those whose commitment, whose sacrifice, whose love, whose prayers have enriched and nourished parish and people and caused your gospel to be renewed in every generation. We pray for the community of this place, for those who seek its good, those who lead and plan and see how things might be. Grant to us a vision of your love working in this place, and help us together to be your church. Father of unending goodness, maker and builder of all, sustain all that you have made. Jesus Christ, the sure foundation and cornerstone, confirm our hope and trust in you. Holy Spirit, source of all skill and love and power, inspire the work of our hands. To the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be all glory now and forever. Amen. Our closing hymn. We worship God in harmony.
The Son and the Holy Spirit be with you all now and evermore.